We are in the book of Joshua and doing a series there, and I'm enjoying it very much. And if you've got a Bible and want to turn to Joshua 10, that's where we're going to be this morning. We are looking at Joshua and the Israelites coming into Canaan land, the land that was promised to the people, and Joshua leading the people. And when we get to chapter 10, it's an interesting story that we're going to look at here in just a minute. In 1988, before Lee and I, just the summer before Lee and I got married, I went out to do some youth work at the Canyon View Church of Christ there in San Diego. And we were needing some funds for a wedding and for a honeymoon. And so I said, I'm going to go do youth work. You get all the wedding planned, and I'll get back in time for the wedding. And I remember being a West Texas kid. I have not spent a lot of time in places like California, seeing mountains or oceans or things along those lines. And I'd flown in and got picked up by a cousin who I was going to be staying with. And as we went to, she said, where do you want to go? What do you want to go look at? And I said, I want to go see the ocean. And so she took me to, if you know anything about San Diego, La Jolla Beach. And that's one of those places that if you're in San Diego, you drive and it's uphill until you reach the top of the hill out looking over La Jolla Beach. And then all of a sudden, when you reach the top of the hill, it's like, boom, there it is. And I remember just being drenched in awe as I hit the top of the hill seeing the ocean. It wasn't the first time, but it was the first time in a long time. And going, wow, that thing is so big. It is incredible. Look at the size of the ocean. I was just flabbergasted, would be a good West Texas word, at how big it was and how amazing it was. And I remember my cousin Kathy and her response to my just overwhelmed sense of awe, and her saying, yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, it's big. I guess I hadn't really thought about it in a long time in that way. And what Kathy had done is Kathy had got kind of comfortable with the ocean. Does that make sense? She had been around it enough times that it wasn't any really big deal to her anymore. Well, I spent 3 months there in San Diego being a youth minister and going to the beach and taking kids to the beach and spending time out there and just having a great time. And I remember about 2 weeks before I was going to get married, Lee flew out and was going to ride back with me home. And when I picked her up at the airport, I said, where do you want to go? She said, I want to go see the ocean. And I remember going, all right, I know where we'll go. And we topped the top of the hill of the La Jolla Beach. And she did the same thing I did. She said, oh my goodness, look at this. It's huge. This is amazing. We're West Texas kids. We don't see things like this. And I remember for about half a second thinking, yeah, I guess it's pretty big. In about 3 months' time, I had got comfortable with the ocean since I had been around it. Nearly every day we would go out and spend some time on the beach. One of the things that you do in life, if you're not careful, is you get comfortable or you get familiar with things that we shouldn't be. For example, some of us sometimes get way too comfortable in our faith. We get way too familiar with God's greatness and God's power and God, our faith and church itself. And it's really a very dangerous thing for that to happen in our lives, is when we go, oh yeah, it's God, you know, yeah, I've been around him all my life. There's so much power and so much amazingness in God that anytime we stop to look at him, we ought to just sit back and go, he is incredible. He is absolutely amazing. And when you get to Joshua chapter 10, and you read the text that takes place, you see God do something absolutely phenomenal. And sometimes, over and over and over, he does these incredible things. And if you're not careful, you go, oh yeah, that's just God. Yeah, been there, seen that, done that, read that story. And people who've read the story for the first time, or maybe people who aren't familiar with the story, goes, really? That's incredible. And one of the things we've got to be really cautious about is that we don't get too familiar with God's amazingness, God's incredible power that he has that he blesses us with at times. So when you get to Joshua 12, here's our text. On the day that the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Ammonites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. And he said, "Lord, let the sun set still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Hajalon." So the sun set still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. And the sun stayed in the middle of the sky and did not set as on a normal day. And there has never been a day like this one before or since. And the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. And so I want to ask you for a second. Here's Joshua going, "Lord, make the sun set still." I want to ask you if you're a sunset still Christian, if you're a person who is willing to pray outrageous prayers like Joshua did, because Joshua's prayer is just absolutely incredible. And when you look at it, if Joshua if Joshua would have come in and said, "Hey, Trey, we need to win this battle. The sun's going down. I'm about to pray and ask God to make the sun set still," I'd be going, "Joshua, come on now. Do you realize what you're asking here?" And yet Joshua wasn't worried about praying it. We have a God that's still the same God that makes the sun set still in the sky for Joshua, and the very same God that made Jesus raise from the dead on the third day on a Sunday morning is the same God that you and I pray to every Sunday and every Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. The same God that's got the power to make everything just stop in its place is the same God that you and I pray to every day. I will tell you, in my years as a Christian, I have seen some sunset still prayers that have taken place and have just overwhelmed me. I've seen a young family by the name of Jordan and Becca, who are very dear to me, have multiple miscarriages, and then finally, today, have two beautiful, healthy boys. And they've just said, "We will not quit praying about this." I've seen my friend Kyle, who struggled with drug addiction, come to the Lord and go, "Hey, I need God in my life," and kicked the drug addiction in a way that I thought, that's absolutely impossible. Incredible that you could do that. I've seen Nora. Nora's a young lady in Childress, Texas, that came to the Lord and realized just how awesome Jesus was. And before you knew it, she went out, instead of going, "Oh yeah, God's pretty great," she went out and started telling people. Next thing I knew, half the people she worked with was coming to church with her on Sundays. She was an absolutely incredible evangelist because she wasn't dulled or familiar with God's awesomeness. She went around talking about, "Oh my goodness, you will not believe the sermon Sunday. You will not believe what God spoke to me on Sunday through this," or the song that we sang. And the next thing you know, here's Nora with half the people that she works with in church on Sunday learning about God because she didn't get familiar with who God was. In the story that we talked about and we read a while ago, the sun is going down. And Joshua's enemies are getting away. We're going to look at it in a minute. And Joshua prays out loud in front of all the men and all the people. And I might have mumbled it, "Lord, I'm going to cover for you so that if you don't answer this one, it's okay." But Joshua out loud in front of all of them says, "Lord, I need you to make the sun set still." It's one of the craziest prayers ever. You just got to admit that. He doesn't even pray it right. Now, and what I mean is, scientifically, it is the earth that revolves around the sun. God doesn't stop Joshua and goes, "Hey, now hold on just a minute, buddy. You know, do you not understand what you're asking me to do here?" He throws out this absolutely outrageous prayer, and God answers it. And I believe, and I want you to hear this real clear, these are the first blanks on your handout. God is not intimidated by your outrageous prayers. God is not intimidated by your big prayers. Somebody even called them ridiculous prayers sometimes. God is not intimidated. I think he's honored by them. Because what it says is, God, nobody can do this but you. And we've got to be more like that in the sense that we start asking for big things. You don't intimidate God by your big prayers. Sometimes I think we may insult him when we don't pray. You know, there's a lot of days I get up in the mornings. I've thought about this week. And in my prayer time, I'll just say, Lord, bless my day. And I think that's a great prayer. But I also wonder sometimes if God's going, that's it? That's it? Just bless your day? You don't have anything amazing to ask, incredible to ask? You don't have more to ask than God bless my day? Joshua says, hey, make the sun set still. And sometimes I'm over here just going, Lord, just make my day good. And I think sometimes what we need to understand is we're way too careful with our prayers. That we need to quit being scared of praying bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's probably offended by anything less than that. We've got to be people who are willing to pray about the impossible sometimes. So I got two or three things I want you to catch this morning from this story. Number one, God answers outrageous prayers when we're walking in his direction. So what I need you to understand is somebody goes, well, how do I know God's going to answer some crazy prayer that I pray? I can just tell you this. If you want the prayer answered, you got to be walking in his direction. Does that make sense? Here was Joshua. God had told Joshua, if you'll just do what I tell you to do, if you'll just follow the way I tell you to follow, and you'll do it exactly, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be extremely successful in what I want you to do. So here's Joshua walking in God's will, doing what God has asked him to do. So of course, God's going to answer the big prayers because he's doing what God has asked him to do. He is under the umbrella of God's will. And so one of the things we have to understand when Joshua says, Lord, let the sun set still over Gibeon, is that this was all a part of God's plan. That God had told Joshua, you go do these things. And so he was doing exactly what God had told him to do. In Joshua chapter 10, there are five kings. Now, Joshua and the Israelites have come into Canaan land. They have overcome Jericho, which you learned about last week. They have taken over several other places. And the people in the land are scared. And so instead of just one at a time, Joshua, them going, hey, Joshua's going to come to us and we got to be ready for this. Five kings from five different cities come together and they go, let's join together to fight against Joshua and against his allies and wipe them out once and for all. And so this is really a big deal. This is a really big deal. And what Joshua understands and what he's going to learn and what we're going to see in a minute is that as long as he's going in God's direction, as long as he's following what God wants him to do, God's going to answer his prayers. God's going to hear his prayers because those are the things that God wants him to do. You and I must be going in God's direction. Let me put it this way, and I don't want to sound harsh, but I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. We can't live in sin. We can't do what God has told us not to do specifically, and then expect that God is going to answer my prayers or bless my life in a way in which I'm asking him to do that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 is a verse that just tells husbands alone. You can apply this to both spouses, but it tells husbands alone. Husbands, if you're not treating your wife the way God wants you to treat her, it's hindering your prayers, is what Peter is going to say. Meaning that God either doesn't hear or not going to take into serious consideration if you're not doing things the way he has asked you to do, even in your marriage. And so I ask you, what kind of sunset still prayer do you need to pray? What kind of outrageous prayer do you need to pray? Is it over your marriage or over your kids or over your financial situation or your salvation or your health? Joshua's prayer in this chapter affected the entire cosmos, stopped everything as we know it. And I don't want this to sound like prosperity gospel, that if you just do what God wants you to do, if you give to God, God's going to give back to you. But it's kind of what he said. I want you to understand that. You got to be going in God's direction. Joshua was living under the will of God's umbrella. Jesus even said, if you'll ask anything in my name, it'll be given to you. But you also understand that this has got to be within his will. Meaning, I can't come along and go, Lord, tomorrow I would really like a big sack of $100 bills on my porch. If that's not in God's will for my life, it's not going to happen. Lord, I'd really like to upgrade my car to a much nicer car. If that's, you've got to, the things that you're asking have got to be within God's will. I met a family one time that said, God has just never blessed us financially like I really thought he should. And we visited about this for a while, and we talked about what the Bible teaches about blessing financially and how God says, if you'll give to me, I'll give back. And I asked them, I said, so tell me, how have you given to God? They said, well, we've never really ever given anything to God. And I said, well, really what God teaches us in his word is that you give first and then he gives back more than what you gave. You can't outgive God. And you may be thinking, hey, I've prayed some bold prayers and God's never answered my bold prayers. We'll talk about that in a minute. Sometimes our bold prayers, if they're not in his will, we're kind of glad he didn't answer, aren't we? I remember as about a six-year-old kid meeting a guy who was a rancher, and I prayed that night, Lord, give me a bunch of cattle. I'm really glad God didn't give me a bunch of cattle. A six-year-old boy doesn't know how to run cattle. I look at different things I've prayed for in my life that I look back now. I mean, Garth Brooks said it best. Sometimes the best prayers are the ones that go unanswered. I look back in my life now, and I'm glad God didn't make me a truck driver in the eighth grade. God had other plans for me. I'm glad when I was in about third grade that the teacher that I had that I was just fascinated with, oh, she was so pretty, that God didn't, you know, Lord, I'd really like her to be my wife. That really wouldn't have worked out too well. God said, I got other plans for you, someone a lot closer to your age, for one. The thing is we can't get comfortable with God's greatness and stop praying bold prayers. We must be walking in his will and his direction. Look at the second thing I want you to catch. God answers outrageous prayers when we refuse to give up. And this is really key. So in verses 9 and 10, here was Joshua, and God had said, you get yourself out there and you go get those folks. You get yourself there. And in order for them to get where God needed them to be, Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and then took the Amorite armies by surprise. So he didn't go, hey, we need a good night's sleep. He didn't go, well, let's wait until tomorrow. He didn't say, hey, we don't know what's going on in the dark. Let's just wait till, you know, I'm tired tonight. The thing was when it came to the outrageous prayer that Joshua prayed, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. And sometimes we're kind of that person that just kind of goes, hey, there's a lot of kings out here, and I don't know if this is gonna be a win for us. But when we pray outrageous prayers, you can't give up if God doesn't answer immediately. You can't give up if God doesn't answer it within tomorrow. Because sometimes when we pray, we honestly think, hey, I'm going to pray today, and I'm going to pray a big prayer today, and I really think it's going to happen tomorrow. And maybe God's going, yes, I'm going to answer this prayer, but it's not going to happen till next year, or the next year, or the next year. The point is you just can't give up. You can't jump ship when God doesn't answer that prayer as quickly as you think. We're really, really bad about sometimes not giving God time to work. God may be planning, working. You may have prayed this prayer. I've met preachers that move every 4 to 5 years. Why do you move? Well, I prayed that the Lord would change his congregation and nothing was happening. Maybe he needed more time. I've met people that have said, hey, I'm checking out on my marriage. I've been praying for it for about 2 years, and it's just not getting any better. And it's like, maybe God needs more time and you're checking out early on it. Maybe it's work. Lord, I have asked and asked and asked for 6 months now that you bring something better to me. And God may be right down, and you can't stop and just up and quit when God is saying, hey, it's coming. Be patient. God moves when you're walking in his direction, but you also got to stick with it. You can't just quit. Two things let me remind you of right here. All through the book of Job, you remember the story of Job? Man, there's some hard chapters in that. You know what Job is glad he didn't do? He's glad he didn't give up in chapter 41. Because he had had chapters 1 through 41 and they weren't very good. But he kept praying and didn't just quit on God. And then chapter 42 happened. The point is you may be in chapter 39 or chapter 40. Don't give up when it comes to praying for prayers. I met a lady one time. I told you about her a few weeks ago. She prayed her whole life. I prayed with her about her husband and his salvation. And it wasn't until 6 months before he passed that I looked up one Sunday and he was sitting in the back of the auditorium. I'm so glad that she didn't give up praying for that man, because he gave his life to the Lord. Third thing I want you to catch. God calls us to pray outrageous prayers that are rooted in his promises. Here's what I need you to understand. God had already told Joshua, I'm giving this army into your hands. He's already promised this was going to be. It's actually past tense. You have beat them already, because I've given them into your... So God has made this promise that says, you got this, just go do it. And so God answers these prayers when they're rooted in his promises. Here's what I need you to understand. Verses 7 and 8. verse 8, do not be afraid of them, for I have given you victory over them. Not one of them will be able to stand up against you. God has made some promises to you and to I. He's promised that he would give us his presence, that he would never leave us. God has promised he would be with us, that he would go and prepare a place for you. God has promised that he will give you rest, that you can take his yoke upon you. And it's gentle, it's easy, and Jesus is trying to tell you, my way is the best way. God has promised that he will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And you can put your weight on the fact that those are things that are going to take place. This story wasn't about Joshua's ability as a leader. It wasn't about his strategic plan that he was just some incredible general that goes out and wins this. It was all about God. God was the one that did this ahead of time. God was the one that defeated the army. Even though it was Joshua who said, Lord, I need the sun to set still. I want you to understand something as we close. Whether God says yes to your prayers, later to your prayers, or sometimes no to your prayers, God still likes big prayers, and he's not intimidated by those. And God wants you to not give up when you're praying about things. What kind of big prayer do you need to pray? Let me show you this last slide and tell you one more thing. Don't get used to God's greatness. One of the reasons we don't pray big prayers is because we're just kind of comfortable. We've read those stories. We know all that stuff. Don't not be overwhelmed with God when you read stories like this. How in the world do you make the sun stop? How do you make the moon stay in place? I don't know. But I can tell you, Joshua asked it and it happened. And they were all overwhelmed with God's greatness. Nobody went home that night and that next day and just said, well, you know, that was pretty neat. They were overwhelmed. They were in awe of what took place. And the same God that made the sun set still for Joshua is the same God that raised his son from the dead, and is the same God that is not intimidated by your big prayers. Pray those prayers and don't give up on those things. In Tulia, Texas, where I preached for about 10 years, we had a projector and a screen. It was an older building, and the screen had a big attic. And so the screen would lift down from the ceiling when you needed a screen, and then you could just push a button and go all the way back up. One Sunday, I went up to preach and pushed the button to start the screen before services so we'd get the screen to pop down, and the screen didn't move. I mean, nothing. We went without a screen that day and just kind of had to do without. And I called my friend Tony Oliveris, who was an electrician. I said, Tony, my screen's broke. I got to have my screen. I'm visual. I need to see stuff on the board. He said, I'll get on it. So he calls me on about Tuesday and he says, you got two options on the screen. I've checked it out. He said, number one, and it goes into this big long ordeal. You can replace this and this and this and this, and you can do this and this, and it's going to cost you $4,000 or $5,000 to get all these things done, and that would fix it. And I said, what is option number two? He said, you could plug it back in because somebody unplugged it. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, I actually think you should go with option number two. I liked his sarcasm and his fun. But it made me, it reminded me that sometimes we become unplugged from God and God's power and God, his amazingness. And we need to take a second and go, I just need to get plugged back in. I need to reconnect to that amazing power. And I need to be overwhelmed with just how amazing God is. I don't know if you've kind of become unplugged from God and his awesomeness and from his power, but you got to get plugged back in because he answers outrageous prayers. He answers prayers that we pray. Not always answers them immediately, but they're answered in some form or fashion. And he is not intimidated by your big prayers. Can I challenge you this week? Pray some big prayers to God. Pray some outrageous prayers to God. You don't intimidate him. He never kicks his head back and laughs and goes, that's impossible. You're praying to a God that everything is possible. We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. If you're here this morning, we can pray for you, give you that kind of encouragement. If you're ready to become a Christian, whatever it is that you need this morning, if you want to come during this invitation song, it would be great. Let's stand and sing.